That's Retro Fandango. That's Retro Fandango. When it's Android over iPhone, and you can keep your stupid amiibo and always bashing on Nintendo. But that's Retro Fandango. That's Retro Fandango. Thanks, Retro Fandango.
Here we are.
Well,
Retro Fandango. Episode 226. Yeah, that's what I put down. 226. What do you want to talk about?
Sounds good.
What do you want to talk about? I got nothing.
Next episode, we can talk about the old sitcom 227.
Yes, I did think of that.
Which I haven't seen that show in so long, but anytime I see the number 227, suddenly I flash back to everybody sitting on the front porch.
This is all spoilers for episode 227.
Yeah.
We can't talk about 227 until we get to 227.
Oh.
It's like some weird Fight Club reasoning or something. I don't know. Since we last recorded, I have watched one TV show and I've watched one movie. So,
oh, good times.
All I have to say is thank goodness for pickups.
Yeah.
I buy the movies. It's just the watching. That's the thing.
That's the problem. You know how to buy the movie.
Yeah. It's the watching. That's anybody can buy a movie.
I got a stack of stuff here too.
All right.
And check this out. Start with this. Can you guess what this is?
A jar of clear urine.
Well, the urine is out right now.
Oh.
It's an empty jar.
Oh.
Glass jar, plastic lid. That go together well enough. I'm facing a Steven Eider situation right before I got ready for this. There was a giant moth flying around in here. And I was fluttering around, banging against the walls and everything. Then I lost it, so I sat down, I started getting ready, and I look over, and then within arm's reach, I realized it was just sitting on the desk. So, of course, I went up to get my trusty jar and lid for catching the bugs, and as soon as I got up, it took off, and it's bouncing around in here somewhere. So I've been trying to catch this moth unsuccessfully.
So you have a jar at the ready to go for catching bugs.
No, this is, I keep some of my painting supplies in here, so I just dump them out.
Yeah.
And this is the lid to a, what do you call those things? Q-tip container, Q-tip jar.
Right.
Which also I use for painting supplies. and together they work pretty well. I didn't want to dump all the Q-tips out of the Q-tip jar.
I see.
But normally I do keep a few little plastic things on hand for catching bugs and lizards.
And lizards. You get lizards?
Yeah, we get lizards pretty often. The other day, we've had a lot of them in the house recently. The other night, my daughter came up with her fist closed up. She's like, what's going on? She's like, can you open the door? I got a lizard. I'm like, okay. Open the door. She drops it out there. Like 3 minutes later, I'm in the kitchen, and then in the sink, there's a little lizard running around. I gotta grab that thing and throw it outside.
So that's what you do with all these things that you catch? You throw them outside?
Throw them outside. But I try to be nice. I don't want to kill everything that I see.
I kill it. Everything's dead. You're in my home.
Really?
This is my territory. I used to be good with spiders because I'd be like, spiders are good. They eat the bugs and all that. And then one of my coworkers came in one day and he was walking funny. And I said, hey, coworker, what's wrong with you? He's like, a spider bit me in the ass. And I'm like, what? He's like, a spider bit me in the ass. I said, don't you mean on the ass? And he said, I wish.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Wow. That was he was looking to lay some eggs somewhere.
And I'm like, that's it. If it's creepy and it's crawly and it's in this house, it is dead. Because it's not coming back. It is not coming back in.
I used to go a little harder on the spiders. But like you said, I decided to to hang on to them because they eat the other bugs. Hey, Ryan.
Hello.
And the spiders around here, they get pretty big. There's some like big brown spiders that have a big leg span of pretty close to the size of my hand.
Yikes.
But I ease up on them because one of the things that they eat are centipedes. And centipedes you don't want to mess with. I've heard they have a very nasty bite.
Yeah.
And I finally found out that that's true. Because I think it was the day after we recorded last, I was laying down on the floor, going to sleep, of course, as you do. And I noted, I felt something like in my hair. I was like, I just went like that. And I was like, oh, what was that? And then I just, kept laying there trying to go to sleep. And all of a sudden, I felt this sharp sting right here between my pinky and my ring finger on my right hand. I was like, what is that? I thought centipedes ate spiders. I don't know. I've heard that the spiders eat the centipedes.
I don't know who eats
As long as something eats something, it reduces the number of things I have to deal with. So for a few minutes, I had this really sharp sting, and I turned on the lights, I looked around, and I did see a relatively small centipede crawling around, which I thoroughly smashed with my fist quite mightily. And then I was like, okay, it's not so bad. A day went by, and it like nothing happened, and then suddenly it started to swell up. This whole area, like probably like a silver dollar size circle appeared. It was just all red and swollen, very itchy. And it's one of those things where like you close your hand, you feel like the meat of your hand feels hard from all the swelling. It's really weird. But finally it went away.
Sauce says here is a dog has been attacking centipedes. When they make it to the floor, won't eat them, but pounces on them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think you want to eat a centipede anyway.
No. Just interesting how there seems to be centipedes everywhere in from Japan to Wisconsin, but here in Canada, we seem to be dodging
the centipedes. Well, they know your reputation.
I mean, I've seen centipedes, but not many in the house, thankfully. What we get are those earwigs. You ever see those?
What's an earwig?
It's like a little brown thing with pincers. And I had a flower pot outside.
Ew.
It was one annual, the one of those ones that, you know, flowers die at the end of the year. And so I went to pick it up to throw the flowers out, and it was just, there was a bunch of earwigs underneath there. I'm like, I hate those things.
Yeah, I'm it's half past September here, so very soon a lot of these bugs are going to bite the dust.
Yeah. They have earwigs in Wisconsin as well, so that's good to hear. Good to know. I like sharing the misery.
Share the pain.
Yeah. That's right. All right. What do you want to do? Do you want to go through some of the movies you bought?
Sure.
See what's up.
I could go through... I can go through the stuff that I watched first and then stuff that I bought.
Sure.
All right. Most recently I decided to revisit Revenge of the Nerds again.
Yep.
I watched this probably a year, less than a year ago. But I just enjoy that film. The second one I have to watch again because I've only seen it once and I kind of fell asleep a little bit.
I've seen that movie a bunch of times when I was a kid, but I haven't watched it since. So
the second one?
Yeah, that was the second one was one of those ones that we had recorded off of TV, like when they had the free movie network for a weekend kind of thing. So that was the one we had on tape. So we watched that a bunch of times. And we didn't watch I've only seen the first one a few times.
Okay.
Oh, we didn't have J-Rock on for his birthday. Is today's J-Rock birthday?
I saw a message probably from Rocket Sauce. Happy birthday, J-Rock.
Oh, well, happy birthday,
College J-Rock. Boy. Did you see that?
Yes.
J-Rock went back to school. Good for him.
How did you know about that? Did he put that on
he posted it.
On the Twitter?
It was on the Instagram and on the Twitters.
Oh, on the Instagram. Okay. Yeah, that's right. You do have Instagram. I saw it on the Facebook, so, and I know you're not on there. So he must have. No. Well,
it's he also, was very proud.
It's also my father-in-law's birthday, who I hung out with a little bit today. He gave me two big boxes of records, big old dusty records.
For his birthday, he gave you records?
Yeah. And he was a big Neil Young, Bob Dylan, Joan Baez fan. He also liked a lot of show tunes and that too. So I'm not 100% sure what's in the boxes, but keep your eyes locked on my new YouTube channel.
I did see you posted your first video.
The Canadian Grooves YouTube channel. And we'll go through that box and see what's in there. But yeah, we came back from the Sudbury record show. And I was planning on doing the show, like, you know, what I got. And I asked Sarah, hey, do you want to go like old school, like what we used to do and join me? She's like, sure. So, yeah, check out
that. So is every episode going to be a duo?
Well, I'm not planning it that way. But when I told Sarah about the boxes and she's like, are some of my records in there? I'm like, they might be. It's like, well, I'd like to look through that. I'm like, do you want to look through the box with me on camera? She's like, sure. So,
okay. So initial reaction, you're going to jump in there all surprised like.
If she says yes, then we'll do it together. If no, then it's no big deal.
Well, that's the good thing about Canadian Grooves. It doesn't specify one person.
No, it's
you can both groove Canadian
We're both Canadians and we both groove. So there we go.
Okay.
And it's plural, grooves. So, Sauce says there are four Revenge of the Nerds movies. I didn't know they got
I've heard that there are more. I believe that it's like one of those, like a new generation kind of thing.
Oh, the next generation.
Because even in the sequel, they do eliminate a couple of the key nerds.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird that the main guy, what's his name? Anthony Edwards?
Yeah.
Edwards. Yeah. Like he's only in part of it. I guess this is after Top Gun. So he's, you know, becoming bigger actor guy.
Yeah.
What's his name? Robert Carradine Lewis. Mm-hmm. I think he's in all of the nerd movies. Correct me if I'm wrong there.
Sauce says the fourth movie is made for TV called Nerds in Love.
Oh,
now I have to see
that. That was the first movie.
Yeah, true enough. Really.
All right. Well, I also I've been meaning to rewatch this one, Throw Mama from the Train.
Oh, I love that movie.
It's very good. Danny DeVito, man, I gotta like props take a little checklist and watch all of his directed movies because
I mean they're hit or miss, but when he hits, he hits.
Hit or miss, but he has a good style. He's a very competent director.
Yeah.
You know, he knows how to pace things, you know, how to get to the meat of the scene. He's good.
I believe that movie did tank though in the like at the theaters. I don't think it was a big hit. But it's definitely a cult classic.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah.
It's great. And you know where loves his mama. I got this from a Dollar Tree. Last time I was in the U.S.
Oh, nice. So you paid a buck for it, or was it a little? Yeah, cool.
Yeah, it was like, well, fine, absolutely. I rewatched In the Heat of the Night with Sidney Poitier.
Yep. Have you watched ever seen the sequels?
No, but I did see some of the TV show with Carol O'Connor.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen Blue Velvet?
I have not.
David Lynch film?
No. I'm not a David Lynch guy.
It's a David Lynch film.
I'm not a David Lynch guy.
That's kind of all you need to know.
Yeah.
It's a strange one.
Aren't they all?
Yeah. I remember seeing part of this, like maybe just the opening scene. I want to say I saw it at school for some reason. But I never watched the whole thing, and this is another one of those rental pickups. So,
all right.
I figured I'd watch it. And I sure did. I watched all of it.
And would you recommend it?
To you, I'm not sure. I'm not sure because it does have one of those strange artsy styles to it.
Well, what's it about? I don't know a thing about that movie.
It is a kind of a crime thriller. I'll spoil the beginning.
That sounds good.
I like crime. Well, it's but it's very odd.
Wow.
In just its style.
Right? All right.
So there's this kid and he's home. He's like a college kid who's back home in his small town visiting his dad because he got injured. And then he's walking through a field and he discovers something. And then he decides to take this something to the sheriff, the local or some detective or whatever. And then they pursue it. And then he starts to pursue it on his own and then starts realizing what's going on. And he gets involved with the people. And it's very odd. Dennis Hopper. Yeah. Pabst Blue Ribbon. Dennis Hopper is odd. Dean Stockwell's in it for one scene and he's kind of steals that scene. I don't know. It's a strange one.
All right.
It's a strange one. I'm not recommending it to you. Just bringing it to your attention. So I don't want any blame.
All right.
Okay, now these are pickups. Only one of these I have watched. This, Nico, also known as...
Above the Law?
Above the Law, yeah. Yes. I was excited to find this because I have a growing collection of the early Steven Seagal films that are not great but entertaining. And this one was kind of a letdown.
Oh, yeah.
I expected a little bit more from this because I do enjoy what is it, Out for Justice and Marked for Death. That's a really good one. Those are fun. This one kind of stinkeroo. This is closer to what I imagine his straight to DVD films are like.
That one was the first one, right?
Like, I think so. Yeah, this was his first. His first film, 1988, maybe?
Yeah. We had that one on DVD. I watched it and got rid of the DVD. Then I found the Blu-ray, but I didn't buy it. I was like, I can't.
Yeah, you don't have to. I mean, Pam Grier's in it, but she doesn't really do much.
I know.
Sharon Stone, pre-fame Sharon Stone. Right. And she, for most of her scenes, she doesn't say anything.
Nah. She's just like, there.
Steven Seagal just tells her, okay, go to the house. Okay, come over here and hug me. That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bit of a letdown, but.
Okay. Well, I'm happy to hear that the other movies are better because I haven't watched them yet, but I was assuming that they were the same caliber. So.
If Out for Justice was kind of fun and Marked for Death, I really enjoyed. Keith David's in that one.
Oh, okay.
That's always a bonus. Next, I picked up four movies recently. Three of them I got for $1. So I was very happy. These are my $1 pickups. And I haven't seen any of these ever. Barry Lyndon, a Stanley Kubrick joint. I know you're not into the Kubrick.
Yeah, it's a long movie, too. And
most of his films are... 185 minutes.
Yeah, I had it on our PBR for like 2 years, and it was just such a big chunk that it was taking up. I'm like, I just got rid of it.
Yeah. This was $1. If it were any more, I probably would have.
Look at this, Mrs. Q Dog is here. Wow.
Oh,
hello, Melissa.
Celebrity time.
Yeah.
I got this. Once Upon a Time in America.
Oof.
Not a fan.
There is
Sergio Leone.
I love Sergio Leone, and the other two movies in that trilogy are great. But that movie, I'm not kidding you. There is a part in that movie where the camera is just on a phone, and the phone is ringing for like 10 minutes.
Really?
I I wish I was making it up. Maybe it was five minutes. Maybe it was 2 minutes. I don't know. But the camera just sits like on the phone minutes. And it just rings and rings and rings. And you're like, what am I watching? Adam, what is happening?
Maybe that's why I found it for a dollar. See? Now, this one I've heard good things about, but I've never seen it. And I know you have it. Seabiscuit.
Yeah. I have a few copies of Seabiscuit. It's an okay movie. It's a
movie.
It's okay.
Oh, one thing I did watch that I watched it digitally. I finally watched Avatar.
Avatar. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't like it either.
Yeah. It's one of those things that everything that happens makes sense. It's like, okay. But pacing, the overuse of CGI, everything was just like, This one was not a dollar. I paid a little bit more for this one. I've only seen parts of it in the past, so I'm very excited to watch this.
Touch of Evil. There we go.
I know a lot of people prefer this to Citizen Kane as like Orson Welles' best film, but I've never seen the whole thing.
There's still there's problems with Citizen Kane, and there's still problems with Touch of Evil. It's not a perfect movie. But
I didn't say perfect. Just
Before. I mean, a lot of people consider Citizen Kane a perfect movie, right? Or whatever.
Yeah.
That movie has a great opening scene where it's 10 minutes of all just one bomb, shot and it's actors,
the car, and everything.
Yeah.
That's why I was excited to get this, because it says restored to Orson Welles' vision. So hopefully they don't have the opening credits over that. He got super ticked off that the studio put opening credits over that whole elaborate scene.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Apparently he wrote like a 50-page letter out of anger.
Not Orson. He seems such a level-headed guy.
The Kane from Citizen Kane. I'm guessing that's a quote.
It must be. Melissa's picking up the kiddos, but today's pickup is a bit later. All right. Well.
All right.
Hang with us.
I was
going to
say something. But I forgot what it was. Oh, you said problems with Citizen Kane.
Yeah.
Do you know the big problem that people like to complain about?
Well, I know there's a big problem that people say is a problem, but it's not really a problem. But
the big plot hole.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If we want to say, I don't know if anyone have you seen Citizen Kane? Has everyone here seen Citizen Kane? I mean, the movie is a bajillion years old. But he whispers Rosebud. And then how did anyone hear him say?
Yeah, nobody's in the room with him.
No one's in the room. But apparently there was somebody in the room, some sort of butler or something like that. It was just
I
have to watch it again, but I heard somebody say that. So there was nurses in the room. They walk out, but his butler stayed. And anyways.
Maybe. I know that after he says it, the thing falls and then the nurse opens the door.
Right. But
is there somebody in the shadow somewhere?
The other thing is that that might not have been the only time he said Rosebud. He might have been like saying it a few times before he passed on. And
possible. I'd have to see it again. It's been quite a few years.
Because that's how legends kind of, anyways, whatever. Hmm. Yeah. Of course, Sauce thinks Mr. Burns did it better.
Oh, yeah. Of course. That's it. That's all my movies. All
right.
That's
pretty good. Well, the one movie I watched. Well, let's say let's talk a little bit about Wonder Years first before I go into the movies. We're on season two now of the Wonder Years. Season one was only about 6 episodes. At the end of season one, there was a little special feature where it had the cast in current time, which was 2010 when the DVD was first published. Mm-hmm. And they were talking, found a little pieces of trivia about the show that I didn't know. That was quite interesting. One was the neighborhood that they shot in. It was in California, but the neighborhood was meant to be like anywhere USA, right? Like
USA.
Mm-hmm. Right. Like you always see the hills of California in the background, but Kevin Arnold wears a Jets jacket all the time. Mm-hmm. Anyways, this neighborhood, when you watch the show, this neighborhood, it had all like those older style homes, but it always looked like a new neighborhood. Like, you know, with just the lawns, no big trees or anything like that. And you wonder how did they do that? And it turned out that it was a bit of luck for them, not so much for the trees, but apparently the trees on this street all caught a disease and had to be cut down. Except for one palm tree that somehow survived, and they paid the residents of the home that the palm tree was on, like $200 to take down their palm tree. But that's how they got that neighborhood to look like as if it was, you know, brand new in the 60s, when, you know, in reality at the time it was about 20 years old. They were just able to you know, there was no trees there to make the neighborhood look older. So I thought that was pretty
cool. Earwig infestation.
Yeah, they didn't say, they just said it got some sort of disease, but it might have been earwigs. Another part of the show that I always found interesting was how they watch the show. They always, a lot of the times they have, when the adults are talking, the adults are like in a tighter frame. Like you'll notice, like the kids will be like, oh, they'll be in a group or something like that. And sometimes the kids are in a tighter frame, but usually when you see the adults, they're not in the same frame as the kids. They're always like in a tighter shot kind of thing.
Okay.
And I always thought that was like some sort of artistic thing where like, well, this is the way like, you know, kids are focused on adults or something like that. But in reality, there was a practical purpose for it, because the producers of the show were very aware of the fact that they were using all these kids, and they wanted to make sure that the kids didn't get too like full of themselves in that. So they made sure that they only worked so many hours a day and were all attending school. So they only had the kids for short periods of time to shoot. Right. So they would shoot like all the kids stuff. And then the adults, they would get, and that's why they would put the adults in like these tighter frames, because the kids weren't actually there, and they would actually get the adults to perform to, it would be like it'd be like a stick with a tennis ball on top of it and they put like eyes and a smiley face, and that's what they had to perform to.
That's Fred Savage.
Yeah, like they would have like they had one stick with a tennis ball that was Fred Savage's height, another one that was Paul Pfeiffer's height, another one that was Winnie Cooper's height, whatever. Put them wherever they needed them in the scene. And that's the actors, the adult actors would react and act to like tennis balls, or they'd be on strings or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like the mom, for instance, like in the kitchen, the kids would always be sitting at the table and the mom would be off to the side cooking. She's never sitting at the table with the kids. And that was so they could get all the kids' lines done and get them out of there. And then they would do the mom's lines from while she's cooking kind of thing.
Okay. I mean, sounds like early CGI, all these tennis balls on sticks.
So then the show is also notorious for having guest stars come on before, like, before they were stars kind of thing.
Okay.
You know, like child actors before they went on to other things. So far, like we're about halfway through season two. There was an episode that featured Screech from Saved by the Bell.
Oh, really?
Dustin Diamond. Yeah, he's in predominant in one episode. Also from Saved by the Bell, we had Zach. Mark Paul Gossier.
You mean from NYPD Blue.
And from NYPD Blue as well. Okay, so you remember the kid, the older kid from Tremors?
The older kid?
Well, like he was like a teenager. Teenager kid.
Yeah, the Melvin.
Right. He's in an episode. He plays a bully.
Okay.
And do you recall the character Becky Slater? Do you recall that character?
Becky Slater. That name sounds familiar.
So there was... So
Kevin, I'm thinking isn't that a Saved by the Bell character?
There was a character called Slater on that show, but it wasn't Becky Slater.
Becky Slater.
Well, okay, so there was Winnie Cooper was the girl that Kevin Arnold had affection for. He was like in love with her kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And at some point, you know, Winnie was off with older boys kind of thing in that, because she was very popular in that. So Kevin Arnold ended up with another girl named Becky Slater, who he started to date to make Winnie jealous kind of thing. And it's she, you know, Winnie Cooper has like dark hair, very long, you know, certain look to Winnie Cooper. And this Becky Slater is, you know, blue eyes, blonde hair kind of thing. And it was almost like a Betty and Veronica thing. But this Becky Slater, this character is played by, in real life, Winnie's Cooper, the actress who plays Winnie Cooper, that they're sisters in real life. And I found that interesting because they don't look a thing alike on the TV show. There you go. Those are my fun facts for a season and a half.
Now, I don't know if this is a spoiler or anything, but is where up to where you are, is Kevin still going out with that character?
No. I don't think that's too much. They don't drag it out.
Maybe too this long. Is something from later, but I have very few distinct memories from that show because I haven't seen it in so long. But I remember one time Kevin went out with some girl and found out that she was like way younger than him.
Oh, no.
Okay, I'm thinking of something else.
Oh, look at this. Miss Q-Dog knew that already about the sisters. Well, good for you.
Good. Q-Dogs are up to date.
They know all everything.
All the Wonder Years knowledge.
The Q-Dogs probably made the decision to put the sisters on the TV show. We got Deke here.
Hey, hello, hey. Deke.
Hey, Deke, I got some records. I'm going to be doing another video on my channel, so stay tuned. I got some surprise records. Look at that. The room is shaking with excitement. Okay, let's talk about some movies. So the only movie we watched, we talked about Saturday Night Fever. I really should have watched that. I really should have watched that movie, because instead we watched we watched this movie called One Night at McCool's.
What is that? Oh, I see John Goodman.
So we got John Goodman, Paul Reiser, Matt Dillon, and Liv Tyler.
Oh, that's Liv Tyler.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. And honestly, it was fine. It came out like 2001. It's okay, but it's not really that funny. It's one of those movies that it's just on the cusp of being funny. Like, they got a funny idea, but they don't really do anything. I don't know. Oh, Michael Douglas is in the movie too. Kind of interesting that he's not on the cover. He's on the back here.
Though. Yeah.
And he was in the movie quite a bit. But, you know, it's
from the cover, it looks like they're going for a young, hip crowd. That's why they got John Goodman.
Oh, maybe. Yeah. I think there was one. I got one laugh out of it. And so John Goodman plays. So this woman, that played by Liv Tyler, she's, of course, playing all these guys. Like, she's, you know, they're all in love with her kind of thing. And she's kind of like toying with their emotions and whatnot, intentionally or unintentionally or whatever. But Paul Reiser plays a character who's into the bondage S&M thing.
Okay.
So at one point in the movie, he dresses up as like, you know, a bondage guy with the handcuffs and the leather and all that. And John Goodman is a cop. That's why he's holding a badge there. He's a detective. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I never see you in a uniform. You know, he's like, well, I have a uniform, but I'm a detective. I don't wear it all the time. So at one point in the movie, it's all revolves around this house. And Paul Reiser's in the house and he gets dressed up in his bondage thing, waiting for her to show up. John Goodman decides he's going to go over there in his uniform to impress his girlfriend. And the two meet, of course, and they're in a kerfuffle and all that. And somebody comes in. I can't remember who comes in, but they walk in, they see the two, and they're like, is this the Village People? Yeah. Something like that. It was funnier in the movie, but that was the only funny part. The rest of it was kind of bad. So, if anyone is interested in a copy of One Night at McCool's, let me know on the DVD, because I got one here. Let me see. Some of these you probably won't be interested in, but I'll talk about them anyways. What else are we going to talk about? I found a movie called A Place in the Sun. This is a movie with Montgomery Clift and Elizabeth Taylor.
This okay.
A young Elizabeth Taylor from the early 50s. And also, she's not on here. She's on the back. And her name is on here, though. It's Shelley Winters. And she's really the best part of the movie. So this is one of those movies where Montgomery Clift is chasing after Elizabeth Taylor because she's, you know, this beautiful woman and she has prominence in the town and all this stuff. And, you know, if he, you know, stays with her as a boyfriend, he is going to have it easy street for the rest of his life. But he ends up incidentally meeting up with Shelley Winters, who our generation probably knows her best as the woman who played Roseanne's mom on the television series Roseanne. But sure. Back in the 50s and 60s, Shelley Winters was, you know, pretty much an A-list actress. And, you know, she wasn't the best looking woman. She wasn't exactly homely, but, you know, she was kind of average looking, average body, all that stuff. And he ends up, you know, running into her and he really connects with her and he ends up falling in love with her. But she's had a child in the past, which was really taboo in the 50s, and she doesn't have a lot of money, and, you know, so it's like, which way is this guy going to go kind of thing? Is he going to take life on the easy street, or is he going to go with the one that he loves? And it's a solid film. So I've seen it before in the past on Turner Classic Movies. So when I saw the DVD, I said, why not get that? Because I like that movie. Speaking of Turner Classic Movies, also picked up High Noon with Grace Kelly and Gary Cooper. This is an excellent Western if you've never seen it.
I have never seen it.
Well, you should see it. Also has an extremely young Lloyd Bridges. If the camera.
Oh, yeah. Here, when he's right, doing his serious stuff.
Right there.
Before the
Mandelbaum.
Oh, Mandelbaum. I was thinking from Hot Shots.
All right. Bye, Mrs. Q-Dog. Later, thanks for Q-Dog. Hanging out. She didn't want old movies. I'm out of here. Yeah. The kids, they need time. Yeah. I don't blame her. I don't want to talk about this either. No, this was a really good movie. Of course, it's like he's a sheriff in the town. I can't remember. I haven't watched it in a long time. Yeah, he's a lawman, and he's the only one that stands against the cowardly citizens. Need somebody to stand up for them, and you know he does the whole pistols at high noon thing. There's a really cool soundtrack in this movie, where it's just like it's almost just like someone's playing a noise or a sound effect or something like that. Mm-hmm. I don't know, it's really good. Here's a movie you know. We've probably all watched it, being the video game nerds that we are. I got myself a copy of The King of Kong.
Oh, nice.
A Fistful of Quarters with Walter Day and Billy Mitchell. And what was his name? It was Walter O'Day, Billy Mitchell. Who's the guy that was? Weeby. Steve Weeby.
Steve Weeby.
I got it. Anyways, bare bones DVD. But
yeah, that's a fun watch, though.
But you'll see over here, mm-hmm. It says, flip the cover over. Come on, do it. And I said, okay, I'll flip the cover over and look at what's on the other side. This cool alternate cover. The King of Kong, A Fistful of
Quarters. I like when they do that. I like when you can flip the cover over.
Yeah, so you can have an alternate cover. It seems funny though. This movie doesn't, like, it's got like conflicting titles. Like half the people want to call it the King of Kong, and the other half want to call it Fistful of Quarters. So they just called it the both. Let's just mash up the titles.
Call it everything.
But anyways, that's a fun documentary. I haven't watched it in a long time. Got myself the 80s classic. This is another movie that my sister and I had on tape off of the TV during a free movie weekend. I don't remember much about this movie. All I can tell you is we watched it a heck of a lot. And it stars the two Coreys, Corey Haim and Corey Feldman.
Okay.
In License to Drive.
License to Drive. I've never seen it, but I've heard it's terrible.
You probably are not missing much, but for some reason, I don't
know. That's like the epitome of the Corey days.
Yeah. Oh, Sauce says the sequel to King of Kong is good. Man versus
There's
Snake.
A sequel?
I did see that a long time ago.
How is there a sequel to the King of Kong?
Steve Wiebe goes after another. I think he goes after another high score in the game called Snake. And there was something special about the game. I can't remember. It's been a long time since I've seen it. Some of these I did share on the Instagram. So I'm sorry if I'm repeating myself, but I don't know if I mentioned this, but I found myself a copy of What About Bob?
Oh, I've got that version.
I haven't seen this movie in quite a while, although I've watched it a bajillion times. So, but trying to find this movie on DVD or on Blu-ray,
it's kind of eluded me. Blu-ray.
It's not, eh? Okay.
I don't believe so.
Oh, Hang Nibbler's the game. DVD. That's right. But the game was Nibbler. But Nibbler is like, there's a snake.
Just is like a fountain of knowledge here. He's got all the references.
He's probably got the internet at his fingertips. Oh.
One of those lucky people.
Yeah.
High roller.
But yeah, that's one of my favorite movies, What About Bob? So I was just happy to find it. I got myself a special edition, 2-disc edition. I don't need it, but anytime I see those special edition DVDs of a movie I like, I got to get it. So I got the
one. Hey, that's a good looking.
The Cuckoo's Nest, yeah. With Louise Fletcher on the back.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a pretty cool set. You got the all the foldouts, the artwork and everything.
Are Danny DeVito and Christopher Lloyd in that group shot there?
Yep.
Nice.
Maybe not Christopher Lloyd, but Danny DeVito definitely is. He's sitting right there. A very young Danny. Maybe that's Christopher Lloyd there. I don't know.
Could be. Yeah. I mean, they were all young in that movie.
Yeah. But yeah, Louise Fletcher was great in this movie too.
Nurse Cratchit.
That's right. Yep. Okay, about to get to the horror stuff. But not quite there yet. Almost there.
Horse or horror?
Horror.
Okay.
The other day I was helping my father-in-law move before the records. This time I was helping him move some movies around. And oddly enough, out of the blue, my buddy Frank was hanging out here the other day. And he asked me out of the blue, do you have the movie Unforgiven on Blu-ray? I'm like, no, but I have it on DVD. And he's like, oh, okay. And I went to get the DVD for him. I'm like, do you want to borrow this? He's like, oh, I just bought the Blu-ray off of Amazon because it was $10. I'm like, okay. You mm-hmm. didn't want to watch the DVD. You want to watch Blu-ray. But as I was moving a bunch of boxes for my father-in-law, we had a bunch of movies, but I'm talking like home movies and stuff, you know, like stuff recorded off of cable mm-hmm. and all this blah, blah, blah. In this bunch, there was like a box that was full of like store-bought stuff, and that most of it was stuff I wasn't interested in, like Two and a Half Men or whatever. But
Bassmasters.
No bass. No, he wasn't a fishing guy at all. But one of the movies in there was a Blu-ray copy of Unforgiven.
Hey.
So if anyone's looking for a DVD copy of Unforgiven, hit me up before I run over to the thrift store and trade it in, because I got myself a Blu-ray now.
It's a good movie.
Blu-rays. Yeah, it is. It's a great movie. Also, floored to find this. You know how on my Blu-ray collection I have Monty Python, the Quest for the Holy Grail.
And I have Monty Python and the Holy Grail, yes.
I have Monty Python's The Meaning of Life. And I've always mm-hmm. been missing The Life of Brian. I've been hanging on to the Life of Brian DVD because I'm missing that Life of Brian. Well, lo and behold, you had the freaking copy of the Life of Brian.
Look at that.
On Blu-ray. I'm like, I've been looking for this movie. How is it that you've had this movie?
That's the only one that I have on Blu-ray. I've got Holy Grail on DVD, and I don't have The Meaning of Life.
Well, now I have all three. They actually put a little bit of artwork in the Blu-ray. which is nice. But yeah, this is probably, I would say this is the best out of the three, wouldn't you say?
It's tough because Holy Grail has so many fantastic moments, but Life of Brian is a pound for pound. It seems like it's a bit more polished.
I think Holy Grail is more quotable and it fits more their Flying Circus style. But
maybe, yeah.
As an actual movie with story.
Yeah. Holy Grail is very rough around the edges, and the ending, you know, is so strange. Yeah. It just stops. Yeah, definitely more quotable. Life of Brian is like a so well structured, and it has a fantastic ending.
Like I'll say, the Holy Grail's ending is a little bit of a ripoff.
It took me like Blazing... two or three viewings to get used to it. Like,
no, I mean they stole the idea from Blazing Saddles.
Oh, from Blazing Saddles?
A little bit. Because Blazing Saddles does the same thing. Just at the end of the movie, they break the fourth wall and they're making a movie. Oh. Mm-hmm. Kind of spoiler alert for Blazing Saddles and Monty Python's Quest for the Holy Grail. Sorry to spoil these 50-year-old movies, but
well, they're all good. Everything you just mentioned is worth a watch. But yeah, Life of Brian, that can be their crowning achievement there in terms of film.
So when it comes to these George A. Romero.
Oh, I'm jealous of this one. I saw your pickup.
When it comes to these movies, I really don't know what order to watch them in or anything like that. I'm still confused because they don't put one, two, or three or anything like that. Now, I'll just show you. The other day I found a copy of, on DVD, Day of the Dead. I had no idea.
That's which, the third one.
So, yeah, I know that now. That's the third one. But this is a really cool copy because the zombie actually folds off.
Oh, he's coming after you.
And he's like
a
monster in there.
Creepier zombie underneath,
and there's like stuff in here. There's like a medical book or some sort, like a notebook.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you were a doctor and you were doing autopsies on zombies.
Oh, that's neat.
Have like all your sketchings and notes and whatnot.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, I thought that was pretty cool. Found this at a thrift store. People just get rid of this stuff. I'm like,
So anyways. That one, I think it might be Dawn of the Dead. That is the one that's hard to find now. One of them is like out of print because the rights changed hands. So,
oh, is that what's going on?
It was released, but then I think it's Dawn of the Dead, where somebody took over the rights, and now like it's just whatever's out there. They're not producing them anymore. But yeah, the order, if you just think of it in terms of a daily cycle, it's night, that's the original,
and oh,
then it becomes night. Dawn, and then it becomes day.
Oh, geez, now I feel dense. Oh, that's the
It took me code. Like until like 2 or 3 months ago to figure that out.
That's the code, okay. So
but yeah, I keep looking for those because I have Night on Blu-ray, but I don't have Dawn or Day. And I've heard the rest of them, like Land and everything else, are terrible. So I haven't pursued those.
So after buying this DVD, I said to myself, all right, I'm going to figure out what the order is because I'm going to start watching these. So I get onto my computer and I'm looking at my list of movies and I'm like, okay, so on the Wikipedia, the first one is Night of the Living Dead. And I look on my thing and I'm like, okay, I have that movie. Excellent. Put that off to the side. The second movie, Dawn of the Dead. Type that in. Mm-hmm. I have it. Great. I can watch the second one. And then what's the third one? Day of the Dead. Okay, I just bought that one. And then after that, there's a few other movies. But it seemed like the first three, like I could at least watch the first three. Then I had like this remake of Night of the Living Dead from 1990.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's the Tony Todd version.
Yeah. Okay.
Directed by Ted Savini.
Yeah. Who did the makeup, I think, in the first.
Yeah.
So anyways, okay, I got that. So that's cool. So and then, you know, Night of the Living Dead, awesome. Day of the Dead, awesome. So I go get the Dawn of the Dead, and I'm looking at it.
And it's got a very vague cover, doesn't it?
Dawn of the Dead, Ving Rhames? What?
Yep.
How old is Ving Rhames? Wait a minute. Sarah Paul. Oh, this is a damn remake.
You got the Zack Snyder version. Which is what they do, which I've noticed that they intentionally do that. Because, like I said, Dawn of the Dead, the original, is hard to get. So the remake, they quite often do not put anything on the cover to suggest that it's a remake.
Yeah, no, it doesn't say
anything. The cover is often very vague so that you pick it up and you can't tell which one is this. So you have to look for like a date, or if you see Ving Rhames' name or Zack Snyder.
I am the old grandma that doesn't understand things. And it's like, what was that movie you wanted? Dawn of the Dead? I got that for you. Here you go.
Mm-hmm.
My grandma, you got me the Ving Rhames one. Your Christmas is brewing, grandma.
Yep. You're the grandma that would go to the store and get like Ghost Hunters.
Right. It's
like, hey, here's the movie you wanted.
You wanted that ghost movie, right? There it is.
No, you know what else they do that with? They do that with The Amazing Spider-Man 2, the Garfield one.
Yeah.
If you look at the covers for that, they really try to make it look like the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man 2.
Those bastards.
With the way Spider-Man is posed on the cover, it's much more fun and upbeat. And they shrink the amazing part. They take that and shrink it down, and then you just see Spider-Man 2.
So the grandmas with bad eyes, they can't see that. All they just see
is... like, oh, you know that Spider-Man 2 movie that everyone says is great? Here it is.
Here you
like,
go.
Oh, no. Wow.
Sauce says that the Dawn remake is pretty good. So
I've seen it. I didn't mind it, but I want to see the original.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. I mean, honestly, I can just download it. So that's probably what I'll just do is download it just so I can watch my DVDs. Yeah, but
you know, if you see it in the store, you're going to pick it up. You want that physical.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. But I'm at the point now where I got two of them. So I at least watched the first one for sure. And I have seen Dawn of the Dead a long time ago. That was the one where they're in the mall, right? I think.
That's the shopping mall, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I saw that when I was in college, which unfortunately was a long time ago. Okay, I got a bunch of more horror stuff here.
Okay.
Well, maybe not a bunch. A handful of horror stuff.
Horror is good. Horror can sometimes be very expensive. So when you see them, grab them.
Well, you know, I'm not a huge fan of it. I'm not a huge collector, but you know, I don't mind watching things. So, so yeah, you remember this, 10, movie, horror films with like a bunch of, they're actually a bunch of old, movies on here, but you know, they give them a cool cover and all that stuff. And people commented, mostly Steven Eider said like, you know, you don't really see that as often anymore as you used to. Well, guess what? I went out to the thrift store and I found another one.
All right.
This one only has 8 movies on it. So it's a little bit of
and they look horrible.
Yeah. Killer Clowns, Sinister Spirits, Evil Curses. Oh, those aren't the name of the movies. That's this. What do we got here? Clowns. What is this called?
That's not Secret. Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
No. It's called Secret of the Clowns. So it's probably like these are probably really bad.
You check the year. Like, when are these recent movies, like shot on people's iPhones?
They don't give you the maybe they do on this one. You're gonna make me take off my glasses here. No, they don't tell you the years. They don't put that on the back. They don't want you to know that because they make it look all modern on the front, right?
I don't know. It could be like old stuff that they're trying to repackage as something new.
That's pretty much what this one is. Like, that's pretty much what this one is. But, you know, there are some titles, at least on this one, like The Last Man and Carnival of Souls and that I've heard of those movies. This one I haven't heard of at all. So we got on here Night Shadow, Mortuary, some of these are not rated too, so they could be made for TV or just they were before the ratings board kind of thing. Another movie called 213, Secrets of the Clown, The Last Vampire on Earth.
Oh, that's okay. These are old movies. I know that one. That's got Vincent Price in it.
Okay, that's cool. Room 33, the Fear Chamber. And The Legend of Sorrow Creek.
Fear Chamber sounds like an old movie.
Well, these will
you know that handy. Last Vampire on Earth, I tried watching that and it was super boring. I had that on a horror collection where it was, it might have been as many as like 20 or 30 or 40 movies. This is back in the Best Buy days where they had all the DVDs.
Yeah.
And I remember buying like a huge collection of horror movies for dirt cheap. And they were a bunch of those like movies that nobody ever heard of.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
for no budget.
For, you know, $2.99 at the thrift store, I'll give it a shot. Yeah. Why not? Mm-hmm. By the way, they do the everything at Value Village now is self-scan. You have to scan everything yourself.
No. So every you can conveniently forget.
Well, no, I don't forget, but what I have been doing is I'll get like a stack of DVDs and I'll bring it in there and they'll charge because they're stupid, right? Everything, all the DVDs are $2.99, some are $3.99 for whatever reason, but then they'll have like a, it'll be a collection of two movies and they'll be like, oh, that's two movies, $7.99, you know, they got. What the what? Or a TV series will be $7.99, and it's just like a two-disc season two of something or whatever. Right. Mm-hmm. So I put those suckers all in the pile, and I find the cheapest price, and I just scan that. Like if I got 10
times, yeah,
10 times. There you go. And I actually had one guy come up to me. He's like, "Oh, sir, you're scanning that one too many times." I'm like, "Dude, look." They're all the same price, and I find one that works. I just go with that. He's like, "Oh, okay, fair enough," and he walked away. Because a lot of times you scan stuff on there, they'll have their own scan on there, but the machine will pick up the original barcode, and it screws the system up, and somebody has to come over and clear the system so you can.
Right.
I've had that happen to me once, three times, at like one. Like every time I scanned something, it would scan the thing and they'd come over and they'd be like, "Why not just cover it up or whatever?" I'm like, "I am." It's just, this thing's way too sensitive. Anyways, so when I said, "I find one that works and I go with it," he's like, "Okay, fair enough." So there's your pro tip. Price justification, as Bill used to say when there was
justification,
an STC.
Yes.
When there was a STC pod.
They had a recent episode.
I know. I haven't listened to it yet, so it doesn't count. I found myself a copy of the original Wicker Man, which I've never seen.
I've never seen that.
I've seen the, what's that called? Remake. Speaking of remakes, I've seen the remake with Nicolas Cage.
Nick Cage.
Weird, weird movie. With weird, that's weirdly quotable. That's it's the bees movie, you know, the movie like, oh no, not the bees. I when I saw that movie, it was before memes were a thing on the internet or whatever, or I didn't know where to find memes or whatever. So I had that scene came up and I was just like, what is this movie? But I hear that the original is, some people say it's the scariest movie ever made. It's probably not. It's probably just cheese, but. These will come in handy in October when it's horror movie watching time.
Yeah.
I found this movie. It's from 2001. It's called Dagon. H.P. Lovecraft's Dagon. Apparently, it's supposed to be a decent adaptation of H.P. Lovecraft's Dagon.
Okay. So I don't know what a Dagon is.
I don't know either. But there's some scary stuff on the back. That's kind of scary.
I just hope that in that movie, somebody goes, "Daggone it."
I'm sure someone will. Oh, here's what, this is what made me want to get it. The tagline up top from the creators of Reanimator.
Yeah, all right.
So I said, okay. Found a copy of your favorite movie.
Yes.
Freddy versus Jason.
I do enjoy that one.
And apparently it's fairly difficult to get. Because my buddy Frank piped up right away when I posted this on Facebook. He's like, oh, that's, I've been looking for that. Can't find it on DVD.
I wanted to get it on Blu-ray to see all the glorious makeup and stuff in high definition, but I could only find it on DVD.
Well, apparently it's a difficult movie to come across. I think it has something to do with the licensing.
Well, possibly. Maybe they were only able to produce a certain amount.
Yeah. But anyways, two discs.
What, aren't they still both owned by New Line Cinema? They acquired Jason way back when.
I'm just guessing. Anyways, I told him I'll watch it again. If I hate it, he can have the DVD. So we'll see if I hate it again. I don't know if I hated it so much. Maybe I did. I can't remember.
To me, it's worth it once they finally get together and they start having their fight. It's practical effects all the way.
No, that's true.
Very fun.
So finally, this is a movie. Speaking of movies, haven't watched since college, but it was in this neat tin. So I had to, even though I don't remember liking it that much, but I said, what the hell? It's in a neat tin. So I got the Hellraiser, Clive Barker's Hellraiser.
I've still never seen that.
And
that is a neat tin.
It is. It's pretty cool. The only thing with the tin is it doesn't fit. It's much bigger than a DVD, so it
put
doesn't
it with
fit.
Your board games. Yeah,
I guess so. But I was surprised when I opened it. So it comes with like a book, pretty hefty book here. It's all paperback.
You gotta read now.
Well, no, it's all pictures. You got pictures. Pictures are cool. I mean, why watch a movie when you can look at pictures?
It's like getting a coloring book.
And then the weird thing was is that it said it had posters inside of the film, which it kind of does, but it's like just two of the same
poster. Mini posters.
But they're the same. They're both the same, which is weird.
Hmm.
I don't know why. Like, there's you got the
and it doesn't have the iconic cover of the Pinhead character.
But then I looked at the disc. I'm looking at the disc, and it's Hellraiser 2 in a CD jewel case. But Hellraiser's in there too.
Oh, okay.
You get both movies, I guess. Even though it doesn't say anywhere on here that you get Hellraiser 2. I'm assuming that there must have been some extra packaging on the outside.
There might have been something on the outside, a little sticker.
Yeah, that said like Hellraiser 1 and 2 or comes with the sequel. So I've never seen the sequel, but I guess I'll watch it some point in the October because that's the month to watch scary movies.
What's his name? Why am I blanking on his name now? Jeffrey Combs. Star of Reanimator.
Yes.
Is also in Hellraiser, I believe.
He is?
I believe so.
Okay.
Maybe in a smaller role.
I've never
seen it.
I wonder if he pops up in this movie at all. In Dagon.
You never know, because he was in a couple of the other Stuart Gordon horror movies.
I don't think so. Special appearance by... Wow, how do you say that name? UXIA Blanco.
Yeah, that's about it.
UXIA. Yuxia?
UXIA.
Yuxia? Yuxia?
Oh, now you're just being disrespectful.
Well, I'm just an ignorant Canadian. I don't know how to say names. I can't even say my own name.
Kayvine?
Sauce says those are hard to watch. What, the Hellraiser? Are they hard to watch? Mm-hmm. Are they bad?
Duke mentioned it a little while ago. He had watched Hellraiser and he said he thought it was awful.
Okay.
I'm still curious.
Yeah. I remember not liking it that much, but again, it was $2.99. Or wait, where did I get this one? Yeah, it was $2.99. Yeah, this is the one actually, because when that guy came up and I was scanning them all at once and I was like, yeah, they're all the same price. And I thought for sure he was going to see this sitting there. And I thought he was going to say something about that. Because this does not look like a DVD at all. Like even that's $2.99.
It looks like a Hellraiser puzzle.
Yeah, yeah, it does. Okay. That's it. That's all I got.
That's it.
I mean, life itself has just been way too busy.
So yeah, like what have you been doing if you're not watching? Oh my god.
Oh my god. Where's my calendar? Seriously, I have to keep track of things in a calendar right now. That's how crazy busy it's been.
Social calendar.
It's stupid. I mean, when I was down in Toronto working, I didn't have to keep a calendar because there was nothing going on. Let's see.
You know what day it is.
See, we recorded Retro Fandango. Oh, yeah. And then I helped my buddy Mark at Rib Fest one Sunday. He's an artist who sells his art out of a booth. And he goes to all these different events and all that. So I went to, it's called Rib Fest. Basically, they go around all over Ontario. And it's a bunch of different places that sells ribs in parks and whatnot. And a bunch of people come. And, you know, he was there for 3 days. And they're like long days. You're there for like, you know, from, you know, 11 o'clock in the morning. Well, you start at around 10, but the open the booth at around 11 o'clock in the morning, and you're there until 10 o'clock at night. And, you know, just people coming in and out all the time, buying artwork and that, and you're smelling the ribs and all that stuff. There was a bit of a kerfuffle at the end of the show because there was one guy that was there that was selling spices, like spices that you would put on the ribs, right? But where his booth was, he was kind of far away from where the ribs were. And when you go there, it's one thing for like the rib guys to sell their spices, because you go there, you buy some ribs, you taste the ribs, you're like, oh, I like this. Maybe I'll buy some of their spices, right?
Right.
The people that go there aren't looking to make their own ribs and have different spices and all that. So this guy apparently didn't do very well at the show. He didn't sell very much. So he wanted to leave early on Sunday, the last day. The problem is that where his booth is, he would have to drive a vehicle down to where his booth is, but there's people all walking around. It's a park, right? So the event organizers were like, no way. If you want to leave, you can leave, but you got to take all your stuff and haul it up to the parking lot to where your vehicle is and load up and park your vehicle there. It can't be driving down here. So the dingus decided to take it amongst himself to go to the gate, find a way to jimmy the gate open himself, and then drive his vehicle down there with people all there and all that. So I just found this all out because I was going to throw some stuff out and I saw him get into a big argument with the event organizer, right? She was all like, there's people and all this, and if you injure someone or that, we're not insured for blah, 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 all this stuff. So she took it upon herself to go up to the gate and relock it with a different lock or something like that, and said, no vehicles under any circumstances are coming through this gate. Okay, fine. So at the end of the day on Sunday, when it's getting close to 10 o'clock, Mark wasn't really selling that much because there was a live band performing. They were a Tragically Hip cover band and that. And people were coming into the park, but they were going right to the band, right? They weren't shopping around looking for – people were there to see the show. So he's like, okay, let's start wrapping up early. We were tired anyways. So we start packing up and all that. And then the booth besides us starts packing up. They had very little stuff, right? So they tore down really quickly. And they come back and they're like, we can't bring our vehicles down in here. The gate is slammed shut. Now, at this point in the evening, there isn't very many people, so we should be okay to bring our vehicles down there. But nobody could find the event organizer. Nobody had a key for this lock, blah, 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 all this stuff. So they finally track her down. They finally get her to come over to the gate. Well, the problem is by the time she got there, the band had just finished. So all the people that were there watching the show are now flooding the park. She's not going to unlock the gate while people are leaving. So we didn't actually get to start loading up his car until like 10:30 at night or something like that. And I was okay with it. I was cool. I was just like, I'm going with the flow, whatever. But my buddy Mark was like really pissed because he was there for like, I was just there for the Sunday, right? He was there for like 3 days having to put up with this. Oh man, it was a bit of a kerfuffle, but you know, whatever. Things happen. So, okay, that was one day. Let's see here.
What else did you get to experience any of the ribs?
I did, yeah. So Sarah and her sister came over and they picked a rib place. Now, Sarah can't eat the beef ribs, right? Mm-hmm. Because she has an allergy to beef. So they picked one place that said, well, they serve chicken. And I'm like, well, we've done this before where they've nixed the utensils and that, and even that can set off
contamination.
Yeah, even that can set off her allergy. So as we're sitting there, standing there in line waiting to get to the ribs, I'm watching them cook and I'm like, yeah, they're using the same utensils for the chicken and the you're not going to be able to eat all the any of this. So she went and she got I can't remember what she got, something else at another booth or something like that, and me and her sister got we got some chicken and ribs. And they're very tasty, very good. Expensive. It was like,
of course,
yeah. It was like $32 for half a rack of ribs, a half a chicken, and some rice. It's $32.
Yeah, you go to these events, they soak you.
They know how to make their money. It's tasty, but I don't know, $32 was a lot. So then the following Friday, we had people over. We did a bonfire thing. It was one of the last nights I think that we could have a bonfire, because it was only like 15 degrees. It wasn't like now it's dropping down to like 5 degrees, and that gets a little cold. Like for me, it's fine.
Okay,
I'll sit out there by a fire at 5 degrees all night long. I got no problem. I'll just rotate around the fire, you know. But you know, the ladies, they like a little more heat. What is this? Deke says those rip places were the same here. Yeah, it's the same. I think there are like the same. They just tour all over Ontario because they had rigs set up to haul like the same vendors all over the place. But anyways, we went out. We had a bonfire. We stayed out there till midnight. The good thing about this time of year is that there are no mosquitoes or anything like that, right? It's cool enough at night that they all die off, so you don't have to worry about any bugs. So that was cool. We just sat around, talked, had a bunch of friends over. The next night I went to a concert and saw Big Wreck. They're sort of a Canadian band. Like the members sort of it, well, they're Canadian. The members are Canadian, but the two guys who put the band together started it in Boston. Because the one guy from Toronto was at what's the big Boston school, music school, like I don't know, Berkeley or something like that. I can't remember.
I don't know.
Anyways, they went to the thing. So yeah, we went out to a concert. It was in the Valley, as we like to say here. Basically it's the French area of Sudbury, and they, you know, every area of Sudbury kind of does their own thing. Like it's all like the greater city of Sudbury, but like when it comes to events and all that, they kind of like to do their own thing or whatever. Anyways, great show, fantastic show. I've been reviewing some of their albums on my blog. I put up a review of the show on my blog, so you can go check that out, canadiangrooves.ca. But they were one of those bands that have some good albums, but their live show is a completely different story. Like, you know, their solos, the guitar solos on their albums are pretty much, you know, short, punchy and all that, you know, for rock and roll. But on stage, they're very, you know, it's very verbose and that. And they're one of those 90s bands that have the, you know, sort of somber sound. You know, the lyrics are, you know, not bright and cheery. They don't sound like Van Halen. You know, they're not like jumping up around the stage and all that. But when you go see them, they are they're very upbeat. Like they're, you know, having fun and all that stuff, even though their songs were kind of like Nirvana-esque. they were having fun playing them, you know? Yeah, the Oafa, they, spoiler alert, that was the closer. So we went to see that. Then the next morning, we got up and we went to a record show. So Sudbury has like two record shows a year. So you got to go to both. And yeah, we found a bunch of records. Sarah and I did a video, our very first video on YouTube. You can go check that out. It was our pickups at the Sudbury record show, which was a lot of fun. Then I got groceries the next day.
All right.
Yeah. I had to put that on my calendar. Then I went over to my sister-in-law. She bought a bunch of like furniture from Wayfair, which is kind of like an online IKEA. So the furniture all comes in a box and you got to put it together. So I put that all together. Then the next day I went to the thrift store with Mark. And that's where I bought all those horror films. Nice. And he took me to another thrift store that I wasn't aware of in town, but there wasn't there anything there for me. Then the next day I went to help my my father-in-law. That's where I got those Blu-ray movies. Let's see. Sarah went, she was supposed to go to the bank yesterday. And then today's Retro Fandango Day.
Hey.
And tomorrow I'm doing I'm supposed to be playing mini putt golf.
Wow.
With my friend Mark and his wife Avril.
All right.
And then next week I'm taking Sarah to see Duran Duran. So there you go. You know that band, Duran Duran?
I know that DVD, Dogon Dogon.
Yeah. There you go. That's my life.
Yeah. All right.
What's your schedule like?
None of that.
I mean, it's insane. Like, I've never had like this amount of craziness happening every day where I got to go do something but you know, I'm busy looking after Sarah's family. I'm busy, you know, hanging out with friends and
living life.
Living life. Life is just, it's
full. I've actually got to, well, dirty little secret, I'm still on summer vacation. I don't go back to work for like another week and a half. I'm not even sure.
Wow.
I'll find out when I got to go back. But today, after this, my wife and I are heading north on the Shinkansen, the bullet train.
Nice.
Cause she's going to a concert and I'm just going with her. I'm not going to the concert.
That's
so I'm going to be doing movie thrift shopping and some other stores in that area.
Dude, I'm doing the exact same thing. Sarah and her sister want to go see Duran Duran in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm driving them down to Toronto. We're going to a hotel. We're getting all settled in. They're going to the show. I'm going record shopping.
There you go.
I'm not going to see Duran Duran. I don't care. I'm record shopping. I'm going to Sonic Boom. And what's the other place? The Cops Records down there. I'm going to hit those two up and going to have a good old time.
I'm going to the used DVD shop. And there's a big electronic store that also sells paint and hobby supplies. And apparently they have the Citadel paints, which is the Warhammer official brand. Oh. So there's a couple of those I'm kind of tempted to pick up. So I'll be checking that out. And whatever else I discover. Now, I do have one more pickup. I've been holding this on.
Okay.
It's going to tie in. Now, this is a visual. You're going to have to trust me, people.
All right.
Here it comes.
All right. Oh, no way. That. You got the DeLorean?
I got myself Doc Brown's time machine.
Nice.
Everyone calls it the DeLorean. But there is no official name to it. It's just a time vehicle. Time machine.
Yeah.
I finally got one of these. I've been looking for one.
Well, I got a bit of a bone with that because Doc Brown does call it several times. Call it the DeLorean.
They refer to it as the DeLorean, but technically that is not the name because this is a heavily modified.
This is like the time vehicle. This is like when Doctor Who fans get all upset at casual fans not calling Doctor Who Doctor Who, and his name is really the Doctor, but. Mm-hmm. When you watch the show at the end of the credits, they call him Doctor Who. So, you know, anyways.
I've got my Ecto-1. I've got my Batmobile. So now I've got a little DeLorean.
I gotta find my DeLorean because I have one like that too, and we should compare them. We should compare like
this one is not from Hot Wheels. This is a Japanese Takara Tomy.
Okay, I think mine's an Ertl. Or no, that's the model.
Yeah. So there's still a few I'm looking for because I'm not a big car guy, but the movie now, and TV cars. Like if I get a kit or the Mad Max 2 car, the last of the V8 Interceptors, that would be cool.
Yeah. Does your
couple of those
time machine have the flux capacitor on it?
You know, not the
Sorry, not the flux capacitor.
The Mr. Fusion?
Mr. Fusion.
No, this is the original. So it's not on there. It's got the plutonium
thing. Okay. Well, Mr. Fusion doesn't Mr. Fusion show up at the end?
Still? At the end, after it's been modified for future travel.
Right, right.
And then the third one has the big
circuit board
with tubes on the cover and the white wall tires.
Right. Yeah. Well, mine has Mr. Fusion on it. So, yeah, I guess it's been altered.
That's the end of...
Back to the Future.
Yeah. Well, this brings me to the last thing I've been doing. I mentioned last time that I was curious about that Burnout Paradise and picking up a PS3. I had the good sense to go check on Steam and find out that, Burnout Paradise is available on Windows.
Why didn't I think of that?
And so I was like, okay, cool. It's a remastered version. Wish list. Click. Lo and behold, less than a week later, 75% off.
Oh.
Which is currently going on. If you're listening to this live, it is currently $5 on Steam.
Nice.
So I picked it up. I started playing it, and I'm loving it.
Oh, nice.
Now I do recognize the pros and cons when weighing it against Burnout 3.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like everything I had an issue with in Burnout 3, they fixed in Paradise. But then everything that they took out that used to be in Burnout 3 is like, I wish that were still there. So it's somewhere in the middle is a perfect game.
Yeah.
But I don't care because I get to drive around Paradise City in a bootleg Ecto-1 and I'm having a fantastic time.
Yeah. Those cars, there's a Knight Rider, Ecto-1, and there's General Lee.
Yeah.
And then DeLorean, time vehicle. Mm-hmm. Those four vehicles were DLC on the original version. So that alone makes the remake worth it.
Yes, I was so surprised to see that, you know, you had so many cars from the get-go, like bikes, cars, they got, you know, they're called the legendary cars, the movie ones.
Legendary,
There's like toy cars, they're like little like chubby cars. There's all a bunch of stuff in there.
Well, those legendary cars too, they're beefed up too to make the game a little
they're really
easier.
Powerful. So once you play like with those, it's like your burnout meter goes on forever. They could take a lot of damage. They're fantastic.
Yeah.
The stuff that's a little annoying is it's kind of hard to find a road rage. Like you got to keep driving around intersection to intersection. Like which one is it? And I think they're color coded, so I'm starting to get the hang of it. But at the same time, just being able to drive and not have to worry about menus. The menus is the one thing that always bothered me with Burnout 3. Just the time it came out, the nature of the game. Of course, it's like loading.
Right.
Here's your rundown. Okay. Do you want to start? Yes. Okay. Next car. Yes. Okay. Are you sure? Okay. It's like there's always a menu. But this, you can just drive. Just keep going. Keep going.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Very true.
Pros and cons.
Yep.
You know, depends on what I'm in the mood for. If I want to do like just straight up, I want to do road rage, I want to do races, play Burnout 3, it's like I can just select what I want. But if I just want the freedom to crash through billboards and go off big jumps and stuff,
yep.
In a DeLorean,
yeah.
That's great. Technically, it's not a DeLorean, but.
Well, yeah, they're
close enough.
Yeah. In the vein of.
Like it doesn't even have the gull wings. It has. Like normal doors or something.
Yeah. I guess I've been playing some games too. I've been the big game Starfield came out on Game Pass. This is like the next game by the guys who made Skyrim and Fallout 3 and New Vegas and all that. Or I guess they didn't do New Vegas. They did Fallout 4. Anyways, Skyrim and all that. So anyways, this is a game. It takes place in space. You start off on a planet. You're a miner. You go down into a tunnel. You find something while you're mining. And it gives you like this wicked head trip. And you pass out. Your friends come in and they're like, "Oh, are you okay? What happened? You touched the thing? What happened?" "Oh, I had a head trip." "Well, you need to talk to so-and-so." So you go talk to so-and-so and they're like, "What? You had a head trip? Here, take my ship. Go out into space and find out what that head trip was about." And you're like, "Okay, I'll go do that." And that's as far as I got in the game.
Okay.
So, yeah, you can go to different planets and all that. It kind of feels very Mass Effect-like. You know, you go into a solar system and there's all sorts of different planets that you can go in and explore and all that. It's okay. It sounds like something that I'd be really into, but it follows so many of the same similar beats as the Skyrim and Fallout 4 and all that it kind Naturally. Of, yeah, I just kind of feel like I've been there and done that already, you know? Maybe one day I'll get into the mood to really play it. But lately, every time I sit down at the Xbox, I'm like, okay, I'll play some of that Starfield. There's this other game that just has my attention and it's called, did I talk about Arcade Paradise? Did I talk to you about that game?
No, I don't think so. You talked about McPixel.
Oh yeah. McPixel was fun. I finally finished all that. Got all the achievements and all that. So I got McPixel 1 on my Steam wish list. I'm just waiting for the notification for that to go on sale. But so Arcade Paradise. So you play as this person who has inherited a laundromat. And your dad is a stickler because he was like a self-made businessman and all that. He owns all this stuff. And he sent you off to college to business school and you kind of flunked out. So he's like, "All right, here, run this laundromat. I'm kind of done with you. Just go ahead and run this laundromat." So you go into the laundromat. There's a bunch of stuff that needs to be cleaned up. I guess people do their own laundry there, but there's also like a service that you provide where you do laundry for people. So there's a bunch of laundry baskets there ready to go into the machines. And you start, doing all your work and all that. And then you go into the back room to get some supplies or something. And you go in there and you find out that there is an old arcade in there that seems to have been forgotten. So you message your dad right away. Hey, and then the game takes place in like 1993 or something like that.
Okay.
So like arcades were still a viable kind of thing. So you're like, "Hey, Dad. This arcade, we should get this up and running. Arcades make way more money than a laundromat." And your dad's like, "Video games are garbage. Concentrate. People need their linens laundered. Concentrate on that." So now your job is to prove to your dad that the arcade is more viable than the laundromat. So you start, with just a couple of arcade machines. You fix them up and you get them going. You still have to keep the laundromat going, though. You have to keep everything running in there, or dad is just going to come in and shut you down, right? Because he wants to see that laundromat. So you're juggling both jobs and that. In the meantime, you're making money and stuff, and you can start. There's kind of two levels of money. There's money for profit in that, and then there's money for upgrades. Because there's like two different websites. It's video games, right? You just got to follow video game logic kind of thing. So the regular money is for profit, and you can buy arcade cabinets with the regular money in that. But there are certain upgrades, like you can pay for, like your character moves around. You get running shoes, so your character moves around faster. You get glasses, so you can see garbage better. You can upgrade the safe. At the end of the day, you got to put money into the safe, and there's like a dial and stuff like that. Well, you can get like a digital one where you can just put money in automatically. So basically it's a bit of a time management game. And you're getting all these upgrades to help you with the managing the time. And every time I turn on the Xbox to go play the Starfield, I just like, well, I'll just play a little bit of Arcade Paradise. And then I just get sucked into that because the best part is, I didn't even tell you the best part yet. You get to play all the arcade games. Ooh. And there's all golds that you can unlock and that. And the more you play the arcade games, the more popular the arcade machine gets, and it starts making you more money. And the more goals you unlock in it, like people kind of see your high scores in that. They want to beat it, I guess. So the machine just gets more and more popular. So the goal is to manage your time to fix to get everything going in the laundromat so you can go back and play on the arcade machine. So there's like a Pac-Man type of game. There's like a twin stick shooter type of game. There's like a vector graphics tank kind of game. There's also a, you know, the dance games. There's like a dart throwing game. There's RPGs. There's racing games. There's all sorts of, you just keep buying cabinets to put in there. And as you start making more and more money too, you have your one of your siblings is like, they work for the government. It's like one of those guys in Parks and Rec that design buildings and stuff like that. I'm blanking on the terminology. But anyways, basically, he can make it so your building can have more arcade cabinets in it. Like, oh, we can take out this thing and all that, blah, blah, blah. So you're in contact with your siblings. So the more arcade cabinets you buy, eventually you're basically unlocking the next stage where your arcade gets bigger. So right now I'm at the point, I'm on the precipice of actually building the arcade, pushing the arcade into the laundromat and start kicking out laundry machines. So that's your end goal, is basically to have the arcades take over the laundromat so it becomes a full-on arcade, and then you can just concentrate on playing games all the time. You don't have to worry about the laundromat. No, not Architect. That wasn't it, Sauce. I'm thinking of City Planner. I guess that's the word I'm trying to. They're in with the city planning committee people. I don't know why you're. Okay, there you go. That was weird. Your graphic wouldn't disappear. It was like Sauce was like fighting me on it or something. Anyways, there you go. Look at that. We did an hour and a half. Nothing for like the last 20 minutes. Absolutely nothing.
Well, we've been talking about nothing for the past 10 years.
Well, yeah, that's true. But see, people listen and watch for some reason. I don't know why. And just keep cranking up the content. Build it, and they might come. Okay. Thanks, everyone in the chat. Thanks, Deke and Rocket Sauce and Mrs. Q Dog showing up. And Sauce's graphic just does not want to disappear. Hi. Go away. Nice bug. What do you want? It's a free program, right? All right. I'm just leaving it there. I don't care anymore. And then Canadian Grooves was in the chat. I'd call up his... oh, there he is. Look at that. First. What a clever guy.
There you go.
This is some great, great audio.
Well, nobody needs to know if you don't bring it up.
That's true. All right. I'll just say nothing. There we go. All right. Anything else you want to say?
No. I'm ready to eat breakfast, and I'm going out to buy more movies that I don't have time to watch.
That's the life right there.
There you go.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
See you next time.